Are you an entrepreneur or a small business owner? Or is your target audience entrepreneurs or business owners? Then we definitely have a spot for you. Become an advertiser or an actual guest on our podcast. We are Stubby Forum and we'd love to have you a part of our team. Send an email to info@entrepreneurshiphappens.com and we'll get right back to you and get you all scheduled and on our list. See you then.
Welcome to Entrepreneurship Happens, where we discuss everything from the good to the bad to the ugly in your entrepreneurial journey. This week, we'll be talking to Eurydice Moore, an entrepreneur that talks about how her spiritual growth and alignment helps facilitate her entrepreneurial business practice. She will also be dropping some gems on how to get different funding and opportunities through grants. So without any further ado, let's get into it.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Do us a favor and tell our listeners who you are and what do you do?
I am Dr. Eurydice Moore, and first I'd like to thank you for the invite. I'm Dr. Eurydice Moore of Eurydice. I'm a sole proprietor, I'm a 501c3 specialist, and a grant writer. And I have been in business since December 2004. And what I do is I help nonprofits set up people that are interested in providing services to their communities. I help them set up nonprofit and I help them to attain what is called the 501c3, which is a tax exemption. Nice. And that helped them that whatever income they get into the organization, that document, they won't have to pay federal or state taxes. And then there's other exemptions that a lot of people are not aware of. And I have an ebook titled The 14 Different Ways You Could Use the 501c3. So there's like fourteen different tax exemptions. So I'm here to letting people know, because when you hear 501c3, people are like, oh, I need it for the grant. That's true. But then there are 13 other things you can use that 501c3 for. So I help people, I educate people on nonprofit, you know, startup, operation management, do consultations. And then after I get them incorporated, then I help them to become eligible to receive funding.
Awesome.
Whether it's sponsorship or grants on a state, federal level, right. Local grants from foundation, corporation. So that's pretty much what I do. And I enjoy it. I love it.
Awesome. So there's two things I want to mention about that. You are correct. A lot of people need to be educated in that, because I hadn't known until about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, working with a client of mine, that she had a nonprofit, but she has a for-profit with that goes with that nonprofit. So a lot of people would think that you have the nonprofit means we ain't gonna make no money, but there are ways that you could use a for-profit in conjunction with a nonprofit. So I thought that was really interesting that people do that as well. Because like I said, a lot of people think, well, if I do a nonprofit, I'm not going to get paid. And that's also not true as well. So yeah, definitely information that people need to know and be aware of, because everybody's like, they think that you have to struggle with a nonprofit, and that's not necessarily true. So I'm glad you're here to do that. And then the second thing is, you are another one of our guests where I know you through Shantae, Ms. She Boss Talk.
Yes, I'm a tribe member.
Yes. Great. And that's a great partnership, because you help people become a 503c and get grant qualified. And she's a good resource to learn where the grants are, find out where the grants are. So that's really good. That's really good. Well, thank you. What you got, Castor Troy?
So why did you become an entrepreneur?
Why did you become an entrepreneur? It was by force, not choice. Okay. What happened one day, I looked up, I didn't have a job anymore.
Oh,
and it was myself. I was a single parent, a daughter, and the rent was due in 2 weeks.
Wow.
So it was either sink or swim, ride or die situation. It was definitely by force. And then, you know, I truly believe in God. Then God spoke to me because I prayed. I was like, oh, God, what am I going to do? And then he said, teach people what I taught you. And so I supernaturally ended up in business. I wanted everything all laid out for me. I'm like, mm-hmm. where do I set up shop? You know, do I go on Michigan Avenue, the marketplace? And he's like, simply start from home. So mm-hmm. I started the business with a kitchen table, a chair, legal pad, and a pen. And a cell phone that was prepaid and had a lot of static. And I would have to run to talk to people. I would have to run into my front room and living room and stand in the window to get a good enough reception to hear people. So that's how I started in business. And to work on grants and projects, I would have to go to the local Chicago Public Library and use the card so that I could have some computer time. And I didn't even have a computer, tablet, laptop. I had that's exactly what I had in my faith in God. So, you know, it's been bumpy. And because I was obedient, he sent me 2 people. And so when rent came, I had the money to pay the rent. I had the money to pay the bills, the utility, my phone, even though it was raggedy and had a static, I was able to pay that. So, and then after that, I just went with the flow. I just walked in it and he just provided.
Right. That's awesome. And you know what, that's the sign of that a lot of people listening need to pay attention to. A lot of times we have great ideas, but we wait until things are perfect. Well, I gotta wait until I have an office space. I gotta wait until I have the equipment. No, you just went ahead and you went and found, and there are resources. People forget that there was a point in time where we did go to the public library, and that was our home office, was the public library, to use their resources, you know, and we've gotten so comfortable and just like having things that we're like, okay, we're going to wait. No, don't wait, because somebody is waiting on you to answer your call. So just go ahead. If you need to go to the public library, go to the public library. You know what I'm saying? Don't forget that those resources are there. And like you said, you got to write about. And when you said you got to write your phone, that makes me think Pastor Troy, because he always gets on me. We're in the country, and sometimes I cannot get an incoming call. I can't see who called me until I miss it. And then sometimes my service cuts me off, so I got to move to certain locations in my house. So that made me think about that. Pastor Troy always teases me about that. But you're absolutely a great example of not waiting until everything is perfect and lines up. Just do it. And that's being faithful too, like you said. And then God provided, you know what I'm saying? Then he gave you the resources to level up your game, level up your business. So I love that. So let me ask you a question. What do you love most about being an entrepreneur?
The freedom. Because these jobs have gotten crazy. They have a schedule when you can go and pee. I mean, you know, they got you uniformed and you put in for your vacation. You may or may not get that time.
Right.
Somebody got more seniority than you, then they go with them. And then they have this mandatory overtime. You know, I be monitoring and watching what people go through. And then, God forbid, the boss had a terrible time at work. I mean, not work, home, to bring their home life to the job, and they snappy and meaner than a junkyard dog going off on their employee, the stress. Somebody quit a job, okay? Mm-hmm. Do, okay, now you got to do your job and that person that quit job.
Yeah.
But okay, where's the money?
Right.
Okay, you exactly. Save the money. Can you at least give them a few dollars so they got to pick up the slack?
Right.
So I'm like, that's the no. Freedom, 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 freedom. I can go on vacation when I want to. I can shut this puppy down. I just love the freedom.
I got you on that. I
opened up a can of worm when you asked me that. I could go on and on that one.
That's fine.
Nobody breathing down your neck.
Yes. And then they find every reason in the book why not to pay you. I remember when I worked in a call center in corporate, and they had me teaching other teams, but every time it came to bonus time, I didn't meet metrics. Well, that's because y'all got me off of the phone. How could I meet phone metrics if I ain't ever on the phone? They play games with people's money. So yeah, I feel you on that. Go catch it.
Y'all argue about it wrong. Y'all. What about eating? What about 15 minutes to eat your whole meal? That's what I'd be upset about. I want to be able to eat. Yeah, peace.
Now, look, I'm about to go even further than that. Guys don't have this problem. This, as a woman having a kid, that's why I stopped breastfeeding Jade so early, was because the time. The clock in and out time starts from the minute you hit that button on your phone. You got to walk all the way to get your equipment. And then you got to walk all the way there to do what you got to do. I just couldn't do it. And that's
equipment.
And these companies think they're doing something by having special rooms for mothers. But you got to think about, but you're still giving her only 15 minutes. What can you do in 15 minutes? So, really?
Okay, fine. Okay, back to the interview. What's the most challenging thing you've dealt with as being an entrepreneur?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that question?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay. You good? We good?
I'm sorry. What was the question again?
No, I was asking, what's the most challenging thing that you've encountered being an entrepreneur?
One thing, getting the revenue in. Mm-hmm. That's it. That everything else is fine. The revenue, getting the client, and having consistent clients. Mm-hmm. You know, I recently updated my business plan and I met with my accountant. And then I also have a financial coach. And my accountant did a SWOT analysis. Mm-hmm. So everybody, you need to have a SWOT analysis, SWOT analysis. And what that do, it identified the strengths and the weaknesses of your business. So my weakness was marketing/advertising and cash flow. So that's the most challenging thing. And I believe that's for all entrepreneurs, is having that cash come in and having it come in consistently.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So I'm glad that those issues were identified. And now with my coaches, I have several coaches, Lord have mercy. We're putting together a plan. We're putting together a plan to address those issues. So I promise you, that's the only issue in regard to my business with the SWOT analysis. And I'm sure entrepreneur can amen to that. You know, yeah. Get that revenue in and having it consistently, you
right.
know, because it's something yeah. to get $1,000 today, and then it might be a week before you see another $1,000. You know, you want to see something mm-hmm. every day.
Right. Yeah. So, and you have to set things up to do that. You got to put systems in place and you got to be consistent. To see consistent flow of income, you got to be consistent. So, yeah. But you're right. And it's so funny that you mentioned that, because one of the last interviews we did, we mentioned the SWOT analysis. For some reason, me and the guests, we couldn't remember all the initials, but yes, it's SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So that's it, guys. And that's definitely something that every entrepreneur needs to do for their business. So let me ask you, as far as your relationships with family and friends over your journey, how has your entrepreneurship journey impacted those things, those relationships? Has your circle grown smaller or bigger? How's that work for you?
The circle ran smaller. A lot of people thought I was crazy going into business. They were like, well, why don't you just simply get another job? Because you got all these degrees, you got all these credentials, just go get another job. And I'm like, I had my first job when I was 14, okay? And I'm like, no, that ain't the answer. You know, they got a definition for insanity. Insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. So, you know, I know what job could do for you. They always have the we. And, you know, and then soon as there's a financial crunch, then it's just them, or me. And then they always want to say, oh, we all family. We're family. And then you get a pink slip. So you like, what happened? I thought you were my auntie. I thought you were my uncle. I thought we were family. We are family. Me and my sister, you know, Sister Sled. And then I thought we were family. Then you are out the door. So I'm sorry, I got lost.
We were talking about your circle got smaller and people thought you were crazy.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm back.
I'm so sorry.
So you said your circle got smaller. So you
yeah,
had
my circle got smaller because they thought I was crazy. Just simply get another job. You got the qualification. And like I said, I wanted, you know, I lost a job. I wanted to do something else. You know, and then it was time, God's timing for me to step out in faith and get into entrepreneurship. So yeah, it got smaller because I was too busy. You're too busy to be on the phone a long time. You're too busy to be meeting up for lunches and dinners and going to the movie. Entrepreneurship is long hours. You know, you're not working 40 hours a week. You may be doing 60, 70 hours. So, you know, you don't have that time, you know. But I have acquired a lot of business associates and connections. And like you mentioned, She Boss Shante, that has been an excellent connection with me, with a few others. So my circle has changed, you know, and now it's expanding. It, you know, it's like shrunk when I got on the journey for entrepreneurship. It shrunk. And so now it was at a pause, and now it is growing, it is expanding, because I'm coming into the pathway of new people, different people, people the right that are where people. I want to be.
Right, the right people.
Right, yep, that's it.
Okay. So what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started?
What do I know now that I wish I knew when I first started? Lord knows, I got into entrepreneurship. I was green. I ain't know nothing. Oh my goodness. I wish I knew about the different training. You know, now they had it back then, but I guess it wasn't marketed or advertised like they do now. About the different business training, how to start up. You know, I just went for it. And then years, I say, oh my goodness, 2004, I was thrown. It wasn't voluntary into business. I didn't get my first business training till 2018. Mm-hmm. 14 years? I didn't know. I didn't hear about. And now you got all these organizations coming up with business academies, training. I wish I had known that. Maybe my journey wouldn't have been as bumpy. And
right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what. Yep, to address your question, that's it.
That's it. Well, that's really good to know, though. It's really good to know.
Yeah, and you're right. It's definitely, the landscape has definitely changed. There's a lot more resources now than there were then, and people have more access to it. But we still have a ways to go to get people the resources. So I definitely understand that. So we talked about with your journey. What's the worst thing that's happened to you during your journey? Anything that you had to rebound from?
The worst thing that happened. Mm-hmm. Oh God, I'm trying to remember.
And you're 18 years. That's a long time now.
The worst thing that happened to me was I had a nonprofit at one time. Mm-hmm. I started off with a nonprofit, and I had got the 501c3, and a lady donated a building to me. And that was, I think, 2018. It was probably 2010, something like that. And that year, okay, it needed to be renovated. It was a 3-flat building, and I wanted to provide program services, women's support group, SRO, single room occupancies. I wanted that. I wanted to address women issues and, computer lab, job readiness training, the whole work. And this lady donated the building to me, but it needed quite a bit of work. And unfortunately, the funders, I don't know what happened. There was crisis and home and crisis with funding. The funders were not issuing out grants. I couldn't find any grants or any capital grants. And I would contact banks that, I tried really, really hard and I could not get the funds to rehab in order to provide the services, and I had to let it go. That was the worst thing. And I was like, I felt so bad about that, and I had told them the plan, and, I'm a woman of my word. If I say I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna do it. But maybe all that was out of God's timing, or, maybe I'll be able to do that later. That was the worst thing. And it was so embarrassing. It was so embarrassing as well.
But you know what you have to do when those things happen, because I've had something similar happen to me, you have to look at it as that's a way of God showing you what is possible. You know what I'm saying? It might not be the time. He just wanted to show you that that is possible. And so now when it does happen, you know what you need to do.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
So what's one of the craziest and wildest things that you ever experienced as an entrepreneur?
Crazy. Well, oh, you all gonna scream on this one. I'm faith-based. Okay, I'm sorry. That's the only way I can make it down here in this crazy world. I need the Lord. Lord,
that's the only way to do it.
I was sitting. I scheduled an appointment with a lady, and okay, she came into my office, home-based business, okay? I graduated a little bit. God let me have some furniture from a law firm. That's another story, another testimony. And so I'm looking good now, got computers and everything. So I schedule a client to come and meet with me, and that's when I had my home-based business office on the west side of Chicago. So she comes and she sit down in the chair, and I would give free consultation. And so then she tells me, she looks at me and she said, God told me to tell you to write a grant for me for free. So I was stunned. I didn't know what to say, But I remember this scripture where the Lord said, you can open your mouth and he will speak. So I just opened my mouth. Didn't know what was going to come out. Next thing I know, it was the Spirit of God. You know, some people, I see crazy hearing voices and stuff. So anyway, I heard Peter Cornelius. It was my vocal cords. It was my voice. And then I heard Paul Ananias. And it was the Holy Ghost. And then Peter, he saw a vision where he saw a net lower that had strange creatures that were against the Jewish dietary law. And then he was told to eat it. And then he was told, he said, no, Lord. And the Lord said, what I have clean is clean. Okay, so God dealt with Peter on the rooftop. Cornelius was in prayer while that was happening. And Cornelius was not Jewish, he was Gentile. So therefore he was considered unclean. So God was dealing with Peter, I'm finna bring him into your presence. He's not unclean. And so an angel appeared to Cornelius. And then the angel told Cornelius, send men to get Peter. So they went, and Peter willingly went, otherwise he wouldn't have, and he preached the gospel to Cornelius' household. They got saved. So, okay, now Paul and Ananias. We know that Paul, I didn't mean this to turn into a Bible study, but I'm about to wrap this up.
Well, you go ahead.
Paul, we know he persecuted the saints, and then the Lord said enough already, knocked him off his high horse, he goes blind. Mm-hmm. And then while he's praying, he's like, oh, who is this, Lord? He said, it's me, Jesus. You constantly persecute me. And then he said, I want you to go to a street called Straight, and Ananias is going to lay hands on your eyes and your sight will be restored. In the meantime, Ananias have a vision, and God, and he see Paul, and he see himself laying hands on Paul. Ananias said, what in the world is this? And God speaking said, I want you to heal him. And he like, do you know that this is Paul that persecuting the saints? And he said, yes. He said, but I chosen him. He's a vessel. Lay hands on him. Heal him. Restore his sight. All that was said. And then the next thing I know that came out of my mouth, God deals with both parties. He dealt with Peter. He dealt with Cornelius. He dealt with Paul. And he dealt with Ananias. God didn't tell me to write no grant for you. She jumped up out her chair and ran out my door.
Wow.
True story. God speak to both parties. So somebody come, God said, he gonna say it to you too.
Right. You read about that. It's like, okay, well, God didn't tell me that. So we, like you said, we should, when somebody tell you something like that, you should already know it in your spirit. You should already be aware. It's more confirmation when people tell you stuff.
Yes.
I get you on that. Well, what's the best thing that's happened to you so far on your journey?
The best thing during this journey, oh my God, is that I have been able to help, and I lost count. But I used to keep a tab, and I guess I could go back in my records. So far, the blessing have been helping people. I have helped 12,000 people.
Wow.
Plus, okay?
Wow.
And it started from that kitchen table.
Okay? I love it.
12,000 people, that's been the best thing. I have helped organizations, school, churches, social service agencies and others to acquire over combined over $3 million.
Wow.
That has been the best thing. The best thing has been talking to people and also being able, as an ordained minister, to minister to them, to pray with them. And here's situations and circumstances that they're going through, and to be able to pray and see that God give them a breakthrough and they have a turnaround, and then they call back with a praise report. Okay. Those have been the best thing. And then being an entrepreneur, I would say that I do have a boss. My boss is God, and he has been the best. I have not lacked anything or gone without. He's been faithful. He always been there. So those have been the best thing.
Awesome. Love it.
So what motivates you?
What motivates me? Yeah. God. And spending time, quiet time, and meditating and focusing on the scriptures, and listening to anointed worship music. And what motivates me is the clients. When they come to me and they say, I have a desire to work with youth, but I don't know how to get that started. That motivates me. Or someone come, you know, our elderly is really suffering. A lot of them have outlived their family members, and I want to do something for the senior. That motivates me. Somebody come and say, oh, hunger is an issue in my community, and I want to start up a food pantry. You know, I want to see people get the food. They got to decide between buying grocery and paying rent or paying the light bill. That motivates me to help them, you know. So helping people help people. Wow. That's my motivation.
That's beautiful.
I love that. So let me ask you, what makes an entrepreneur successful, and do you consider yourself successful at this point?
Okay, success, everybody got their own definition of success. Success is if you met your definition, what you define as success. If you met your definition, then you are successful. Success to one person may be reaching six figures, and they reach it, so they're successful. Success for another person is, I want to build an empire. I want to be a millionaire. Then they reach it, they're successful. The success to another person is, I want to create generational wealth. I want to wake up my family members. You know, like right now, I started something with my family, first time ever in my bloodline where everybody is business oriented. Okay, so success to a person would be creating generational wealth. And then success to me, my definition for me, success is doing what God created me to do. I'm successful.
Amen. Like that. So how do you manage feelings of doubt or imposter syndrome? Like, how do you deal with it when you're having when you're dealing with self-doubt or imposter syndrome? How do you manage those feelings?
Okay, how do I deal with doubters? You're talking about when people
when you're dealing with like self-doubt, like when you're saying like maybe you just you're not as excited maybe about a project, or you're not feeling as positive as you usually feel, when your energy's a little down. How do you deal with that?
Okay, when dealing with a project, here's the thing. I don't take all projects. Discernment is needed. In me, I am so busy. So I'm selective in the projects that I take on, because let me know if I don't answer your question. I'm trying to answer it. But I don't take on project if I know, I try to discern. And so far I have strong discernment that a person is not gonna follow my instruction. And if you can't follow my instruction, you cannot expect, nor will you get the result that you desire.
Right.
So, and I do little things to kind of like test people during my conversations, or I give an instruction. And then if I see that they can't follow the instruction, I refer them to someone else that right. may can walk, take them by the hand and walk through. Now, as far as doubt, I don't know if you mean if someone is doubting the credential or the capability or sizing me up and down, you know.
No, you.
I'm a pretty plain looking person, you know. I'm not dripped in diamonds, and I'm not flamboyant, wearing neon, all these different colors, you know. I have grill across my teeth. You know, a lot of people look both to the outer appearance. I don't care if you are buck teeth and bow legged. If you can tell me something that's going to help me, right. you know, I will humble myself and listen. I'm not flashy. So there have been times when people question my capability, and I just like, oh, well, let's find someone else that probably can help you. And I don't get offended because I know who I am and what God created me to be. So I don't get offended. I don't have time to be offended. I really don't.
Well, do you ever have doubt for yourself that you can accomplish something? Do you ever run into self-doubt?
Self-doubt. Okay, I have had challenges when I worked on some project and I felt like I was stuck. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm about to make a mess. So I would pray, and then I was like, Lord, send me somebody. And he has so far sent me some business associate and that actually do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I contact them. Like, I have asked Shantae quick questions. I love her. She will respond to an email, but you need to keep it short and sweet
with right.
people on her level, because she's real, real busy. So I might mm-hmm. shoot a question to her. And now that we got this She Boss tribe, I present the question to the tribe, and then I have a friend who is a paralegal. You know, she's a paralegal, and then I ask her, so I seek counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And then that wise counsel that helped me to move forward and successfully complete the project and make the customer, the client happy.
I like that. Go ahead, Pastor Troy.
So what's one final piece of advice you would give a new entrepreneur after all the great things you dealt with in your journey? What's one good final piece of advice you give a new entrepreneur?
Okay, the advice that I would give a new entrepreneur would be to make sure you should be one, for one, you know, prayer. Okay, mm-hmm. Is this what you want me to do, God, or is this just my flesh? This is something I want to do. Right. I'm doing it for prestige and acknowledgement to be seen. First, find out if you should be doing it. Right. Then two, sign up. It's too many. Sign up for these places that have the business training on how to start a business. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of resources. You know, I recommend She Boss. I mean, since I've been doing She Boss, my business has doubled
mm-hmm.
since following her instruction. Then there's SCORE. Then there's the SBA, Small Business Administration, and then SCORE. They could go to SCORE, Chamber of Commerce. Local colleges and universities that have entrepreneurship training program. And the program that I took in 2018 was Sunshine Enterprise, LLC. Sunshine Enterprise, LLC. And they got open enrollment right now. So if you, and I graduated from their program, and they have something that I really, really love. They have what is called a lifetime commitment with you, with your business. It don't end after graduation. They continue with you. They offer the alumni grants. So I have gotten like, I think 5 grants from Sunshine.
Wow.
I've gotten 2 grants from SheBoss. So yeah. So right now, and I just got an email last week asking me as an alumni to let people know that they have open enrollment for the fall for those that want to learn how to start business. So number one, find out if you should even be doing it, okay? It require a certain characteristic to be an entrepreneur. You got to want to, you got to be patient. No, you ain't going to see the money right away. You got to have the stamina for it, the fortitude, the mindset for it. I can go on and on. Then 2, sign up for a business training, the startup, you know, how to do it. And then, that's it.
Look, sign up for it before you start buying equipment and other things.
Amen.
We tend to do that too. And I'm not sure if you're one of the ones, but several of us in that circle did the Bank of America Women's Entrepreneurship Certification.
Oh, yeah. I graduated. I forgot about Cornell.
I thought you did.
Yeah. And then I went, let me see, I think 2020. And I found out about that through Shantae. You know, I found out through her. And so I went on and hitched my red wagon to that. And I graduated February of this year. This year, I finished the Women Entrepreneur. And it is an excellent program.
Yes.
But you got to be really good with the computer and the dashboard and the clicking here and the clicking there. You know, click everywhere. Okay, got to be good with that.
Yes.
So, so I was real, real happy to have finished that program.
Yes. Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah, that's a good resource too. It finally, for me, it made that final piece in the business plan click for me. So I graduated last year, April of last year. So definitely I recommend that as a resource as well. So I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and let our listeners know how to find you on social media and connect with you, especially if they are looking to start a 501(c) or get grants.
Okay, thank you for having me, you guys. I appreciate it. And they can reach me at 773-544-5341, 773-544-5341. Oh, Lord. Okay, that's prayer time there. Or they can reach me at my first and last name. I know you said you're going to show the graphic. First, last name, EurydiceMoore.com. That is my website. Okay. And they can fill out a contact. So yeah, they're very, and then my email, EurydiceMoore@yahoo.com.
Okay, and we'll also include the links as well in the description, the episode description as well.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, this has been fun. One of the most fun.
Yeah, really.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to our show this week. If there's any part that you like, please feel free to drop us a voice message. Next week, we'll be talking to Keelan Harper on becoming an entrepreneurial team and his journey thus far. So please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all of our social media platforms. And until next time, peace.
Think becoming a podcaster for your business or passion? Then do what we did and sign up for Anchor. Anchor is easy to use, user-friendly, and will push your podcast out to other platforms such as Spotify. It's very easy. Come join us on Anchor.